Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman Maimer by Avram Goldar and today Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Gimel, the first perek, Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. The Zichru Masechet Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichru Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika explains differently why loan disputes require three judges, but not mumchin. He holds that midaraisa, even a single judge suffices. As the pasuk says, B'tzedek tishpot amisecho, with justice you shall judge your fellow, written in the singular. Three judges are required midarabban mishum yoshvei kranos, because of corner dwellers who do not know monetary laws. By requiring three judges, it's inevitable that one of them will be sufficiently knowledgeable in dinei mamonos. Although unordained judges are valid biblically, they are still liable to pay if they judge incorrectly, as opposed to mumchim, because if they would be exempt, it would increase the number of yoshvei kranos who would judge without learning monetary laws. The Gemara explains that the nafkamina between this opinion and Rava's is Shmuel's ruling that shnayim shadanu dinehem din, two judges who ruled on a loan dispute, their decision is a valid decision. Rava, who holds three mumchim are biblically required, but three adiotos were allowed rabbinically, disagrees with Shmuel. Point number two, the Gemara quotes a braisa about the source requiring three judges for dinei mamonos. Rabbi Yoshia says that the Torah says Elohim three times in the psukim about a shomer chinam swearing in court, teaching a requirement of three judges. Rabbi Yonason says we do not count the first mention of Elohim because ein darshin chilos. We do not darshin initial descriptions when considering the number of times the term is used, since it's necessary to teach the primary law that a mumcha is required because Elohim implies greatness. Rather, the term Elohim is written superfluously twice, requiring two judges, the ein beis din shakel, and a beis din cannot have an even number of judges to enable a majority ruling, so an additional judge is required, totaling three. The Gemara explains that even Rabbi Yoshia can agree that we do not darshan tchilos, but holds that if this first occurrence was not to be counted, the Torah should have written Hashofet, the judge. Since the Torah used the term Elohim, it indicates it should be counted towards the number of judges required. And point number three, the Gemara wonders why Rabbi Yoshia needed three mentions of Elohim to teach the requirement of three judges. Does he not agree that we require it based in nota, an uneven court? But a braisa teaches that the pasuk lintos achari rabbi mahatos, to decide according to the majority, it shall be decided, teaches haselucha based in nota, make for yourself an uneven court to enable a majority ruling. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Yoshia holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says the Sanhedrin was composed of 70 judges, an even number, and does not require an uneven court. Thus Rabbi Yoshia would allow a basin of four or six judges. The Gemara objects that Rabbi Yehuda himself only allowed for an even court in the Sanhedrin, but requires an uneven court elsewhere. This can be proven from his requiring five judges for the smich of the elders on the Paralem Davar, which is based on the rule of aim based in shakul. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yoshia allows for an even court even where Rabbi Yehuda does not. He agrees, however, that lintos requires an uneven court for din nefashos, capital cases. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika explains differently why loan disputes require three judges, but not mumchin. He holds that midaraisa, even a single judge suffices. As the pasuk says, B'tzedek tishpot amisecho, with justice you shall judge your fellow, written in the singular. Three judges are required midarabban mishum yoshvei kranos, because of corner dwellers who do not know monetary laws. By requiring three judges, it's inevitable that one of them will be sufficiently knowledgeable in dinei mamonos. Although unordained judges are valid biblically, they are still liable to pay if they judge incorrectly, as opposed to mumchim, because if they would be exempt, it would increase the number of yoshvei kranos who would judge without learning monetary laws. The Gemara explains that the nafkamina between this opinion and Rava's is Shmuel's ruling that shnayim shadanu dinehem din, two judges who ruled on a loan dispute, their decision is a valid decision. Rava, who holds three mumchim are biblically required, but three adiotos were allowed rabbinically, disagrees with Shmuel. Point number two, the Gemara quotes a braisa about the source requiring three judges for dinei mamonos. Rabbi Yoshia says that the Torah says Elohim three times in the psukim about a shomer chinam swearing in court, teaching a requirement of three judges. Rabbi Yonason says we do not count the first mention of Elohim because ein darshin chilos. We do not darshin initial descriptions when considering the number of times the term is used, since it's necessary to teach the primary law that a mumcha is required because Elohim implies greatness. Rather, the term Elohim is written superfluously twice, requiring two judges, the ein beis din shakel, and a beis din cannot have an even number of judges to enable a majority ruling, so an additional judge is required, totaling three. The Gemara explains that even Rabbi Yoshia can agree that we do not darshan tchilos, but holds that if this first occurrence was not to be counted, the Torah should have written Hashofet, the judge. Since the Torah used the term Elohim, it indicates it should be counted towards the number of judges required. And point number three, the Gemara wonders why Rabbi Yoshia needed three mentions of Elohim to teach the requirement of three judges. Does he not agree that we require it based in nota, an uneven court? But a brisa teaches that the pasuk lintos achri rabbi muhatos, to decide according to the majority it shall be decided, teaches haselucha based in nota, make for yourself an uneven court to enable a majority ruling. The Gemara answers that Rabbi Yoshia holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says the Sanhedrin was composed of 70 judges, an even number, and does not require an uneven court. Thus, Rabbi Yoshia would allow a basin of 4 or 6 judges. The Gemara objects that Rabbi Yehuda himself only allowed for an even court in the Sanhedrin, but requires an uneven court elsewhere. This can be proven from his requiring 5 judges for the smich of the elders on the Paralem Davar, which is based on the rule of aim based in shakul. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yoshia allows for an even court even where Rabbi Yehuda does not. He agrees, however, that lintos requires an uneven court for din nefashos, capital cases. All right, so now we got our siman daf gimel, and our standard siman is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The camel belonging to the 3 corner dwellers who were busy judging a case had the word Elohim from the parsha of Shomer Chinam stitched on its blanket 3 times and was eating some dried grasses next to where an even basin of 4 judges sat. Once again, slow motion. The camel, that must be on Daf Gimel, Gamal. The camel belonging to the 3 corner dwellers who were busy judging a case, which reminds us Rav Acha Breid Rav Ika explains differently why loan disputes require 3 judges, but not mumchin. He holds that midaraisa, even a single judge suffices, as the pasuk says, but tzedek tishpot amisecha, with justice you shall judge your fellow, written in the singular. 3 judges are required midrabban mishum yoshvei kranos, because of corner dwellers who do not know monetary laws. By requiring 3 judges, it's inevitable that one of them will be sufficiently knowledgeable in dinei mamonos. So the camel belonging to the 3 corner dwellers who were busy judging a case had the word Elohim from the parsha of Shomer Chinam stitched on its blanket 3 times, which reminds us Rabbi Yoshia says the source for requiring 3 judges is from the parsha of Shomer Chinam, where the word Elohim is written 3 times. Rabbi Yonason says we do not darshan the first mention of the word, and therefore only 2 judges are required. So the camel belonging to the 3 corner dwellers who were busy judging a case had the word Elohim from the parsha of Shomer Chinam stitched on his blanket 3 times and was eating some dried grasses next to where an even basin of 4 judges sat, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a machlokas if a basin requires an odd number of judges. The Gemara concludes that Rabbi Yoshi allows for an even court even where Rabbi Yehuda does not. He agrees, however, that lintos requires an uneven court for dinin nefashos, capital cases. So once again, the camel belonging to the 3 corner dwellers who were busy judging a case had the word Elohim from the parsha of Shomer Chinam stitched on its blanket 3 times and was eating some dried grasses next to where an even basin of 4 judges sat. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Hazara. Daf Kuf Ein Dalad. So the simmer Daf Kuf Ein Dalad is a deck. So here goes. The Arav of a man who borrowed money to build a new deck. Deck? That must be on Daf Kuf Ein Dalad. The Arav of a man who borrowed money to build a new deck, who said, lend him and I will pay, which reminds us, Ravuna says that if a potential guarantor says, halvehu vani Arav, lend him and I'll be an Arav, or lend him and I'll pay, or lend him and I'll be liable, or lend him and I'll give payment, these are all expressions of an ordinary Arav. If he said, tenlo vani kablan, give him the money and I'll be a kablan, or give him the money and I'll pay, these are expressions of a kablan from whom the lender may collect outright, even if the borrower has property. So the Arav of a man who borrowed money to build a new deck, who said, lend him, and I will pay, was upset that he couldn't collect from the Yesomim when he paid on their behalf because they were not yet chayv in mitzvahs, which reminds us, an Arav for Yesomim paid the lender without notifying the orphans and came to be reimbursed. Rapapa said, prius balchov mitzvah, the payment of a debt is a mitzvah, and minor orphans are not required to perform mitzvahs until they become adults. Even if the loan was recorded in a shtar, the orphan's new debt to reimburse the Arav is an oral debt. Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua held orphans would be compelled to perform the mitzvah of repaying a debt and gives a different reason why an Arav cannot be reimbursed by Yesomim. So the Arav of a man who borrowed money to build a new deck, who said, lend him and I will pay, was upset that he couldn't collect from the Yesomim when he paid on their behalf because they were not yet chayiv in mitzvahs, but was relieved to hear he was not responsible for the ksuba he guaranteed because he was just doing the mitzvah of getting the woman married and it didn't cost her a dime, which reminds us, the halacha is that in all cases, an orev and a kablan are bound by their commitments to guarantee the debt, except for an orev for a ksuba who's exempt from paying even if the husband did have property. The Gemara explains, mitzvah da'avad, the orev was merely doing a mitzvah of convincing her to get married without fear of her ksuba not being paid, and he didn't cost her anything in her getting married, in contrast to an orev for a loan. Daf kuf ayin hei, so the siman daf kuf ayin hei is kinei nahara. So here goes. The Shechemira clutching a huge chamsa to ward off Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara? That must be Daf Kuf Ayin Hei. Kein Ohara. The Shechemira clutching a huge chamsa to ward off Ayin Hara, who admitted owing money since he would never jest, which reminds us, Rava asks, Shechemira Shehoda Mahu, if a gravely ill person admitted owing someone money, what is the halacha? Must he say to those presents, Atem Eidai, you are my witnesses to the admission, or does he not have to say Atem Eidai? The Gemara concludes, Ein Adam Meshat B'Shas Misa, a person does not jest at the time of his death, so his admission is accepted even without designating witnesses. V'divei Shechemira K'ksuvim U'K'mesurim Damu, and the words of a Shechemira are treated like they are written and delivered. So the Shechemira clutching a huge chamsa to ward off Ayin Hara, who admitted owing money since he would never jest, gave a chamsa to his son learning dinim amonos to become wise, which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel said, a rotze sheyachkim yasuk b'dinim amonos, one who wants to become wise should occupy himself with learning monetary laws, she'eno chamikso b'torah yos mehen, because there's no area of Torah greater than it, mehen k'mayin hanoveya, and they are like a flowing fountain, and one who wishes to occupy himself in learning dinim amonos should serve benanas. So the Shechemira clutching a huge chamsa to ward off Ayin Hara, who admitted owing money since he would never jest, gave a chamsa to his son learning dinim amonos to become wise, because he was nervous the chavrusi he was debating with whether she booted the raisa with regard to collecting loans would get jealous, which reminds the Gemara brings him a halacha, because if she booted the raisa regarding collecting loans, and the difference if the loan is recorded in a shtar or an oral loan. Daf Kuf Ayin Vav, so the simmer Daf Kuf Ayin Vav is a veker, one who wakes up others. So here goes. The veker, that must be on Daf Kuf Ayin Vav, that's Kuf Ayin Vav backwards. The Vek who sees the Bacher's teddy bear using a handwritten shtar that was certified by Basin, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses, if a handwritten note which was certified by Basin can be used to collect Nechasim Shubadim. So the Vek who sees the Bacher's teddy bear using a handwritten shtar that was certified by Basin, notice the shtar on the wall in which the Adim signed after the Arav wrote his commitment, which reminds us, Rav said, Kodim Chitim Shtaros, if an Arv's commitment appears before the document's signatures, Govim Nechasim Shubanim, the lender may collect from Meshubat properties because the Edim are also signed onto the Arv's commitment. So the Vek who sees the Bacher's teddy bear using a handwritten shtar that was certified by Beis Din, notice a shtar on the wall in which the Edim signed after the Arv wrote his commitment, who didn't need a kinyan because he committed himself at the time of the loan, which reminds the Gemara concludes with the halacha, Arav b'shas matan maus. An Arav who commits himself at the time the money is given to the borrower does not require a kinyan, but an Arav who commits himself after the money was already loaned does require a kinyan, since the loan was made without his guaranteeing repayment. Daf base, so the simmer daf base is a bias, a house. So here goes. Outside the unusually shaped three-story Sanhedrin house, that must be on daf base, bias, house. Outside the unusually shaped three-story Sanhedrin house, which slept three judges on the first floor, 23 judges on the second, and 71 on the third, which reminds us, the opening Mishnah lists which cases require a Beis Din of three judges, 23 judges, and 71 judges. So outside the unusually shaped three-story Sanhedrin house, which slept three judges on the first floor, 23 judges on the second, and 71 on the third, a great judge was looking to gather an additional 70 judges, which reminds us, the Mishnah brings the sources for the number of judges in a Sanhedrin Gedola and Sanhedrin Katana. For the number of judges in a Sanhedrin Gedola, the Pasuk says, Esfel Yishivim Ish Mizikne Yisrael, gather for me 70 from the elders of Israel. And Moshe was over them, totaling 71. Rav Yudah says the Sanhedrin was 70 judges. So outside the unusually shaped three-story Sanhedrin house, which slept three judges on the first floor, 23 judges on the second, and 71 on the third, a great judge was looking to gather an additional 70 judges, right next to a table where three dayanim without smicha were judging cases involving loans, which reminds us, the Gemara concludes, the Midaraisa Rabbi Avo would require three mumchin for halvos, but the sages waive the mumchin requirement to more easily facilitate loans. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which daf do you discuss an Arv's commitment which was written before the Adim's signatures? That's on daf Kufayin Vav. Good. Number two, which daf do you learn an Arv is not bound by his commitment to guarantee a ksuba? That's on daf Kufayin Dalet. Good. Number three, which daf do we have machlokes if she booted the raisa regarding collecting loans? That's on daf Kufain hey, good number four. Which duff does Gemara bring a second opinion that midaraisa one judge suffices for loans, but three were required midarabanan mishum yoshvei kranos? That's on duff. Gemara and Sanhedrin. Good number five. Which duff do we have the opinion that midaraisa three mumchin are required, but this requirement was waived for loans? That's on duff. Base and Sanhedrin. Good number six. Which duff do we learn two reasons why an arav cannot be reimbursed by yosomim? That's on duff. Kufain dog. Good number seven. Which stuff do we learn? Ain ad mishata b'shas misa. A person does not jest at the time of his death, so his admission to owing money is accepted even without designating witnesses. That's on duff. Kufain hey. Good number eight. Which stuff do we have a machlokas if a beis din requires an odd number of judges? That's on duff. Gemara Sanhedrin. Good number nine. Which stuff do we learn the sources for the beis din of 71 and 23? That's on duff. Basin Sanhedrin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do we learn that the source requiring three judges comes from the word Elohim written in the parsha of Shomer Chinam three times? That's on Dav. Gimel and Sanhedrin. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.